Bam! Jason Waller here with Jason Waller Unleashed. That's right. I have got a live Instagram going while I'm recording the podcast for next week, Unleashed. This episode, we are going to talk about family. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about morals. We're going to talk about staying between the buoys and staying focused on what's important to you. That's right. Because too many times we get stuck in the abyss. We get stuck in the mud. We get stuck in the swamp. We allow outside influence to change our mindset on how we're going to handle ourselves, how we're going to carry out the day, how we're going to finish the day, how we're going to interact with people that we care about, we love, and people that we don't like. All that matters. Everything's about reaction, not action. That's correct. It's about how you react to things, not how you act on things. And people try to pay attention too much to the action. It's how you react. Life is throwing you all kinds of shit. Softballs, bullets, baseballs, football, spikes, darts. You got to deal with it all. It's just coming. You've got to be able to dodge and be like the Matrix. You got to be able to handle your situation correctly and stay focused on what's important. So I want to talk a little bit about faith. I don't get to talk about it a lot, not for any reason. I just, you know, usually the stuff I'm talking about, I try not to pour it on everybody, but it's been asked to me a lot, you know, where's your faith? Do you have faith in God? Do you believe in God? The answer is yes. Yes, I believe in aliens. And yes, I believe in God, and I think they can coexist. I'm not going to get into the details of this episode on how I believe in that. You'd have to watch other episodes to kind of see the details of what I believe and how I think they're interconnected and you know, intertwined, and why I think it's important of, you know, every civilization had some kind of God or being that came from the sky that they worshiped that had powers, and I call those aliens. And so, listen, we can talk about that for days, but I want to explain, yes, I have faith. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, me and my family have been baptized. Yes, I pray every day, at least once a day, if not two or three times a day. I'll be in the car and just say a prayer. I used to pray every night with my son before we went to bed. We got away from that. I want to get back to doing that. I don't know if he's too cool for school to do that, him being 13 years old, but I do like to pray with my family when I can. You know, But I do pray. I'll be in the shower. That's when I do a lot of praying. I'm in the shower. I jump in a hot shower and it's fucking 113 degrees. I got a little temperature sensor. And I'll just let the water beat on me and I'll just think and pray and plan. And sometimes my brain races so much, I got to run out of the shower, fucking ass out everything, just run over, grab my phone and message myself something so I don't forget. I don't know if you guys ever do that, but man, my brain works like a damn pinball machine. And so if something pops up that's important to me that I want to remember and I want to discuss or I want to handle, I got to run out there and I got to take a note of it. I've got to find a better way to track notes. I've got notepads and I've got notes and, you know, I'm always tracking these things. Things come to my mind. Like this morning, something popped in my mind at 5:30, I was texting somebody. I'm like, sorry for the early text, but I need you to do this, 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 this. I don't want to forget about it, so I'm sending it to you. It's 5:30 in the morning. Like, my shit never rests. But that's where I do a lot of my praying. I do a lot of my praying in the shower. I think and I pray. It's kind of like serenity to me. It's a moment of peace. I want to start meditating. And maybe I kind of do meditate in there. I really don't know how to meditate. But I'm in there just thinking and letting the water beat on me and praying and analyzing. And I'm sure most of you do the same thing, but I'm in there a good 15, 20 minutes of hot water. Then I turn that shit on cold as it gets, ice cold water. I bust out 30 push-ups while the water's beating down on me. And then I got to wiggle and dance in it for another minute, minute and a half if I can. It's tough. And then I come out and I'm like giggly and full of energy and my endorphins and everything's high because of the cold water and I feel amazing. I'm ready to conquer the world. But we're talking about faith, you know, talking about what you believe in. There's, you know, I am never one to push on what people should believe or shouldn't believe. I grew up not going to church. I grew up where my parents really didn't believe in God when I was little. They do now. It was never forced on me. I messed with faith a little bit, church a little bit when I was 14, going with a guy named in Arizona, Jose Ortega. I'd go with his family a few times to this church over in South Phoenix and we would go and I loved it. I was like, this is amazing. Right. But then when I moved to North Carolina, I really didn't go to church. You know, there was Southern Baptist church, just wasn't for me, felt too fabricated at the time. And then, you know, when I met my wife, she grew up Catholic. And, you know, we went through, after my son was born, I went through this whole thing of, you know what, I want to get to a point, to where I have a relationship with God. And I remember we would only go to church back in the day, only on Christmas, maybe Easter. And, you know, we were that family, right? We work all the time. Weekends were this. Sunday was football or the Renaissance Festival over towards Concord. And we didn't really go to church. But on holidays, at Christmas Eve, we'd always go to church in Cornelius, Grace Covenant, and we would do the candlelight ceremony. And I was just, I would see these dads, these husbands that had something I didn't. And I never get jealous. I'm not a jealous human being. I don't hate. I don't, you know, I don't get a dirty envy. I get a good envy of like, wow, I envy what they've got. They've got a good thing. And I wanted that. I wanted to have control of my family spiritually. I felt like I didn't. This was back in 2011. And so I told my wife, I was like, look, we got to find a church. Like, I want to start going a lot more. And we went to all the churches. We went to the Mormon church. We went to the Catholic church. We went to the Baptist church. We went to the Presbyterian church. I mean, we had Mormons come to our house. Like, we did it all. I actually dug the Mormon church. Everything was great for me, except when they started to explain this other book. And then they kind of lost me. Nothing against it, because I love the way Mormons are structured. I love how they love family. I love how they love business. I love how, you know, they follow rules. I mean, no offense to the Catholics, but I feel like they do stuff so they can just go repent. It's not a big deal. Like, to me, that's not cool. You can't be like, I'm going to go fuck up and I'll just ask for forgiveness Sunday. I feel like, and yes, I'm stereotyping, most Catholics are that way, unfortunately. Not all, but most. I felt like Mormons aren't. They're very structured and really, like, really good, right? And I've always envied that about them. Like, man, I love them. Like, I like it, right? But it threw me off a little bit. Not a lot. The book threw me off a little bit. It was just hard to be like, okay, I don't know about that. So we were going back and forth. And I wanted to maybe start there, going back and forth. And then I kind of liked the Catholic Church, too. Like, it was structured. We were going to the non-denominational church for a while, and we decided, you know what, we like that. So we started going to church. We decided to get baptized as a family. Me and my wife renewed our vows in 2011. So it was our 10-year anniversary. Gave her a real wedding at a church. But we baptized our whole family the night before. And so I thought that that was important because, you know, my whole family could do it and we could do it together and it could be something that we could cherish for the rest of our lives. And so we could do that under God. It was a great experience. We're crying, the kids, it was just amazing. Right. And, that led us to start going to that church. Pastor Farrell was there. I don't think he's there anymore, but we went to like almost every Sunday for a couple of years. And then we moved to Michigan. We kind of quit going to church, right? Churches up there were just too liberal for me. Nothing against liberals out there, but this was different. And, so we didn't go to church up there. You know, we had season tickets to Lions. We go to the football games all the time. And then Stephen Furtick from Elevation, when he first got started, a couple of the guys that were part of the founding members with him knew me and Liz and, you know, did some work for us before and asked for foundation money. So we were one of the few, you know, the people out there that gave the initial money to help open that church up. Elevation, which has exploded. And that's probably who I like listening to the most, is Stephen Furtick from Elevation. He is a boss as a speaker, as a pastor up there. He breaks it down for you and keeps you engaged and gives you, you know, it's like, listen, Eric Thomas is my favorite, you know, speaker on stage. And his episode with me in the podcast is coming out here soon. But and he's been on the show multiple times. That's like my dude, like my hero is Eric Thomas. Like, love him, that hip hop preacher. But Stephen Furtick's like him, but about church. And so that's the only one to keep my attention. So I love listening to him when I get a chance. I don't listen enough. Like, you know, we all have faith and then we kind of like, we push it to the side. And I'm going to challenge myself here in the next several weeks to really bring that back into the house. Bring it back into the family, pray more, be more about things that, you know, that we need to be grateful for and blessings. And I wouldn't say we've fallen off, but we're not where we used to be. and we could always give more and do better. So I think that that's important. And so that's what we're going to focus on. So, you know, my faith is really, I'd say I'm non-denominational. I pray to God. I still believe in aliens. That's not going to change. And look, I've got family members that are all over the board, right? I've got my sister. I don't know. Her religion's very strong. It's a Christianity, but it's like her own thing. I wouldn't say they're cult, but it's cult-like. You know, but to each his own. That's what she likes. Whatever. That's what she likes. My mom kind of fades that way a little bit. You know, she's been all over the place. You know, she studied Judaism, you know, Christianity, like all of it. She's just done so much research. She's bounced around, right? But now she's very, very happy. So I'm happy for her, you know. I believe each person's relationship with God is their own and shouldn't be judged or dictated by other people outside influence, right? I don't think there's any specific rules. I think your relationship with God is your own. It's your own to decide how you do that. That's my opinion. So we talked a little bit about faith. I want to talk about, you know, family and focus. So I've got some news recently that is exciting, confusing, a little bit douchey, but also exciting. So I recently found out, literally 2 days ago, that it is very, 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 very possible I have an older half-sister. Mm-hmm. Just found out. So what that means is my dad, before he met my mom, he told my mom about this, that he thought he had, or he was almost certain he had a daughter out there that he never found. They never really told us. He joked around. For those that know my pops, dude, he's just full of shit and jokes all the time. He's like, yeah, you know, I got some kids running around here. You know, he's always kidding, right? And we never took him serious. You know, it's me, my brother, and my sister. You know, my brother's 4 years younger than me, and my sister's 7 years younger than me. And each one of us is the complete opposite. My sister's like way over here, and then my brother's like way over here, and I'm kind of in the middle. So this lady reaches out through Facebook to Hannah, my oldest. I guess she's been looking for a while. And her mom passed a few years ago and said, you can find your dad now. And I guess the understanding is that she was born like 50 years ago. And my dad had a very short-term relationship with this girl when he was 14. And at that time, that family, when she got pregnant, moved her out of state and told him that it'd be handled and that he would never see her again, whatever. And so he's looked for her a handful of times over the years, is my understanding. He just really hasn't spoken about it. But him and my mom would look and looked in places in Michigan. And then kind of gave up, I guess, right? Just kind of like, okay. And so she was reaching out. She found these pictures. And they were pictures of him in middle school, in high school. And she's asking questions to my oldest daughter, like, you know, Is this your grandpa? You know, my mom's name is this. And did you, you know, I think he might be my dad. And my daughter's like, no way. Like, really? Like, she's like, what's your mom's name, et cetera. So she calls my dad and's like, do you know so-and-so? And he's like, why? And she's like, well, do you know so-and-so? Why? And she's like, well, she's saying, oh my, she's like, Sherry, that's my mom's name. She's like, you know, they found her, whatever. And so they're all like, what? They called me a couple days ago. Hannah and Liz call me and they send me a picture of the messages between my very possible older sister. And I say that cause you know, we do a DNA test, but more than likely it's like, you know, it's like 90% that she is. And them and her asking about, you know, my dad and which would be her dad. And, you know, I'm like, Hannah, this is bullshit. Like, why are you guys bullshitting me? I'm working. I don't have time to do this. Why would you do this? And her and my wife are laughing. They're carrying on. They're like, no, this is real. Like, we called your dad. We called Papa. I'm like, it's not real. It's like a Facebook scam. Like, quit bullshitting me. I got shit to do. I have to work. I don't have time to mess around with this stuff, right? And so I then, you know, ignored it and didn't think it was really real. So I get home that night and I kind of forget about it. And then my wife brings it up to talk to London about it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, this is that. And so we call my dad and my dad's like, no, it's real. And then they kind of go into the story. And it's just crazy, right? It's just, it's different. It's like I said, it's, I feel bad for her, because she hasn't got to know the family. Right. And like I said, we got to get DNA test stuff done, but more than likely, almost positively, we're related. So it's cool. It's exciting. It's weird. It's douchey all at the same time, right? It's all a mixture, but you got to feel bad for her because she didn't do anything wrong. Like a lot of people say, a lot of people that we're close to and some family members are like, I would never let anybody come in that, you know, was my half sister and half brother I didn't know about. Like they say that, but this person didn't do anything to neglect or shun themselves from your family. They in fact were neglected and not told. Right. So they're entitled to be a part, like to meet and be entitled. Like they didn't do anything. They didn't ask for that situation. It's different if somebody's like, you're my kid or you're my sister and I want nothing to do with you. And then years later, they want to appear. It's like, no, you didn't want nothing to do with us. That's different. You don't ever know. You don't get the ability or chance to either make a great relationship or ruin the relationship. It's, you don't even get the opportunity. Right? You kind of get a free pass, my opinion. And so my mom and dad are really excited. I'm on the fence excited. I mean, I'm happy for her and I'm happy for my dad, right? Cause I'm sure my dad's had a void there. He, you know, he was wondering and looking for years. I've got to adapt to it. I'm still processing it. I am not angry or bothered by it. I've just got to be like, you know, it's just awkward. That's the best word. It's just a little awkward. But my wife said something really great, which I thought was awesome, is she told her no matter what you do, you need to come spend time with Bill as much as you can because that's your dad. You can't worry about what Jason or Jeremy or Jesse think. You've been neglected for 50 years to not meet him. You should come and suck up all the energy you can with him and nobody should be mad about it. And that's very, very true. And that's speaking from a selfless person that understands that. So she sees the better in people, which is important because I think that's the situation that, you know, my older sister, alleged older sister is it the situation? She's like, I don't want to impose and I don't want to feel bad. I'm taking time. Like, and we're like, no, you're not taking time. And my wife tells her, like, no, you're not taking time. You're spending time with your dad, which you should do. So that's kind of unique. And we'll see how that goes. Now, we're obviously from different worlds, right? But I said this earlier, my brother's from one world, my little sister's from another world. And now it seems like if my older sister indeed is my older sister, which we believe that is the case, she's from another world. So it's pretty crazy and archaic on how our family dynamic is in this whole situation. Wild, I would say. Very wild. So exciting to see what happens with that. I keep looking at the time just because I got another call I got to do in a few minutes. So I want to make sure I hit this buzzer on time putting this podcast together. So we talked about faith and we talked about family. And like I said, it's crazy. I was just in there talking to my brother-in-law and he also found out he had a half sister that he didn't know about, right? It just popped in. So, you know, all these things happen, you know, it's just kind of weird, you know, when things like this happen. My mom's really sensitive to this situation because she didn't find her real dad till she was 30. And then she had seven brothers and sisters, half brothers and sisters that she didn't know about. So she's really like involved in this kind of, like, this is personal to her. Like she's been through this before. So stay tuned for that. We'll get more information on that and see how that goes. It's going to be interesting. We talked about family. We talked about faith. We're going to talk about focus. So one thing I've been really trying to do, and I'm working my ass off doing it, is focusing. Focusing on the things that I can accomplish, the tasks that I need to get done, that I can actually see to the end. There are things that you can't get done, that you have to start. And I've been doing a better job prioritizing on what I can start and finish fast, because then I'm making what I call progress in the business. And so there are big projects in life and in business that aren't going to take an hour or a day or a week. And I have to be able to prioritize those where I still show them some TLC and put some energy behind it, but I've got to get these quick tasks done. It's important that I get and accomplish certain things. Reminds me of like what we tell our daughter, like you need to clean your house, you need to make your bed, you need to do your laundry. You feel a self of accomplishment and it starts to give you wins to continue to do things in life. it's similar when you're running a business or you're building a company or you're doing whatever it is you're doing. You have to get some of these smaller things done in order to build up the momentum to stay focused on what's important, because it's very easy to lose focus. I mean, I do it sometimes. I get frustrated. I get tired. I get worn out. I mean, even this morning, I'm like, dude, I don't want to get up. I'm fucking tired. I'm exhausted. Oh, can I just go to bed and take a break and somebody else do it today? I know you guys can relate to that. We all run through days like that, right? But you got to put your old, all right, attaboy, attagirl, kick your own ass, and you got to go. You got to go because you don't get a do-over. And every moment you waste, motherfucker, you won't get it back. Every hour you waste, it ain't coming back. So you got to put in the fucking work. You got to put a dent in this universe, man. I'm fucking doing everything I can, building the shit out of this so we can put a dent in this universe so I can look back in 5 months, 8 months, 10 months, 12 months, 16 months, 20 months ago. Hell fucking yeah. All that work and sweat and tears and fight and argue and toughness and anxiety and stress and fucking failure that just kept hitting to get to the success was worth it. But right now, when you're in it, it sucks. And I say that because we can add that to relationships. Some of you might have been in a long-term or short-term relationship where you feel like, and I talked about this in the last podcast that comes out tomorrow, you guys feel like you need certain things in your life, and you've got to change your mindset to want things in life, not need things. Because when you want, you can be very picky on your decision. You can select what's best for you, not what you think you need, and you're settling in life for a job or a spouse or a friend. We all have to learn to change our mindset to do that. It's the same thing with staying focused. When you're not focused and you allow the tiredness, the anger, the depression, the anxiety, the storms to weigh down on you where you can't advance to do what you need to do and it slows you down, the day defeated you. The hour defeated you. So you got to worry about trying to conquer the hour and win the fucking day. Right? Conquer the hour, win the fucking day. How do you do that? Focus on what's at hand. Conquer that shit. You got to conquer that hour. I lost this hour, Jason. That's fine. Win, conquer the next hour. And you just keep conquering. And then you fucking focus on, did I win the day or did I lose the day? And if I won the day, what happens next? Okay, well, now I got to focus on winning tomorrow. Because this shit doesn't end. There's no break. Now, what I'm doing a little different than what I used to do is I'm smelling the roses and trying to enjoy the journey rather than trying to just get to the destination. I'm trying to enjoy and savor the journey. I'm enjoying my moments of walking in with different executives in different areas of the business and learning and teaching and coaching and involving, right? Not just run, 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 go, 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 go. You know, when you first open a business, it's you're involved in it more. And then when you get a little bigger, you kind of just fucking, you're like, all right, you got people to do that. Let me focus on this. Well, I'm kind of in the middle right now. I'm trying to get things done fast, but I'm also savoring those moments and developing the people around me to be better. And that's key. You want to build a strong, strong business or strong foundation or strong nucleus of people you work with or even a family. You've got to continue to develop people and level them up. So I have fun doing that. That's been important to me. I go into this office, talk to this person. I go into this office. They come in here. They sit down. We chat and I'm able to, you know, elevate them up and explain my thought process. And I feel like I've grown so much. Yes, I'm in pain from the Generac stuff. Yes, I feel bad for all our customers. Yes, I feel bad for all our ex-employees. Yes, I wish Aaron Yagfeld would have to pay the Piper and Generac would make it all right from everybody. But I don't know how realistic that's going to be. It really depends on how the lawsuits go, and they've got a ton of them. But I can't fix that. I can't change that. And so I talk about this all the time. I've grown so much because of that. You know, I've become numb to certain things. They don't scare me as much. I've become numb to problems or fear. Like, and look, in my last business, you get so big, you almost feel fearless. I wouldn't say you're fearless, but you can feel fearless. Because, you know, you're so big. You know, you got so much talent around you. But on any given day, you can lose everything. Take it from me. You can lose everything in one day and not know it. And it could be out of your control. And everybody out here pounds their chest and you control everything. No, you don't. You can only control how you react to everything. Let me say that again. you can't control everything. You can only control how you react to everything. What does that mean? Well, that means you can't control if you're going to win or lose today. You can't control if you're going to fall in love or not fall in love. You can't control if your spouse is going to be good or not, if your partners are going to be truthful, they're not going to be truthful. If your business is going to survive, it's not going to survive. If you can't control losing somebody, you can't control hurting. Like, there's obviously decisions you can make, but you can't control things like you think you can. You can only control what you can control, which is your action or reaction to something, period. Some of these things are out of your control. And the sooner you realize that the things that you can control and you focus on those, the faster things go in life and the better you're able to handle things. But you have to let go of those that you can't control. You can't control the weather. You can't control certain things in your business. You can't control certain things with your health. Things are going to happen. But what you can control is your reaction and your action to those things. I'm reacting this way and I'm going to act this way to get things done. Or I'm going to be proactive. Right? You got to have these things in place in order to really grow and to conquer that hour and win that day. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here. I've got to get on another call. I appreciate you. Make sure you follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Bam!